Good morning. It's good to see everyone, and it's good for us to be here to worship God. From time to time, an individual may go into surgery, and that surgery is very important and very critical. For years, there have been individuals who have had to go in for open heart surgery, and we understand that there's a lot more involved there than maybe going in for some other kind of a health checkup. That's a matter of life and death. And so heart surgeons are sought out, those who are skilled, and often they may be very expensive, but for a reason. That's a very highly technical kind of surgery. And the surgeon goes in and first of all opens up the chest, and that alone is challenging. And then to actually go in and cut the heart, and to keep that person alive while all of that is going on is extremely sensitive. It's extremely critical. And so it becomes a very highly prized or a surgery that is where there's a lot of consideration that goes into that. And sometimes an individual may need to do that because of their own health lifestyle. Maybe they haven't eaten right, and so their arteries are clogged, and the aorta is clogged, and all of that. And so the heart surgeon goes in there and cleans all of that out. Sometimes, maybe it's not their doing. It may be something genetic in nature, and so they have some sort of a heart defect. And we understand that the heart is cut open, and it's fixed. And the person is sewed back up, and they continue living. Years ago, many people did not survive that, and they just simply went to their death right there. It was a very critical surgery, and we've come a long way where we can open up someone's heart and allow them to live longer when the day is over with. And I think that that's pretty amazing. But even more importantly than that, we need to make sure that our heart is cut open with God's Word. And spiritually, our lives are right with God. That's even more important than any kind of physical open heart surgery. The spiritual opening of the heart through the preaching and teaching of God's Word needs to be in all of our lives. And it's not something that happens only on the day of our conversion. Each day that we live as a Christian, this lesson for us as well, that our heart needs to be open to the Word of God. So this morning, I want us to turn, if you'll turn with me, to Acts chapter 16. We will read the story there of Paul's preaching in Philippi and the conversion of Lydia and what I call open heart surgery. Are we willing to have our hearts opened by God's Word and affected by it? Opened up to the things that He has for us and change in the right kind of way. When you come to Acts chapter 16, of course, you find that Paul is traveling to Macedonia, and in particular, he's going to the city of Philippi on his second preaching trip from Antioch. I'd like to pick up the reading in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, if you'll read together with me from there down to verse 15. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden of the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they were come over against Mysia, they essayed or attempted to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus suffered them not. And passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There was a man of Macedonia standing, beseeching him and saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And when we had seen the vision, straightway we sought to go forth into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Setting sail, therefore, from Troas, we made a straight course to Samothrace, and the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a city of Macedonia, the first of the district, a Roman colony. And we were in this city tarrying certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went forth without the gate by a riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spake unto the women that were come together. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, one that worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And so we see that Paul is preaching the gospel. He's preaching the word, verse 6. He's preaching the gospel, verse 10. And when that word of God comes to Lydia, we find that the Lord opened her heart. And so this morning we want to look at the Lord's open heart surgery. And it's interesting when you look at the background of this particular story, you find that the first convert in Macedonia or in Philippi had some interesting qualities about her and her household. First of all, notice that this conversion took place in a commonplace setting. Did you notice in the text that they were by a riverside? Did you notice that? They were by a riverside? You know, sometimes we talk about the importance of doing personal evangelism and talking with our neighbor about the gospel. Are we doing that? We need to be doing that. Are we inviting them to services? Do we hand them a bulletin, hand them a tract? Do we talk with them about trying to study the Bible with them? We need to be doing that. That's how souls are going to be saved. That's how this church will grow. But have you thought about the setting of those kinds of things? I think sometimes we think, well, I'll do that if it's a really prized setting, you see. If it's sort of a grandiose kind of a thing, and if I can maybe talk to a bunch of people at one time, or if it's a real important type of setting, or a real public setting, or something that is really fantastic and something that's really grandiose. That's not what this was. It was on the bank of a river. How more commonplace can you get than that? Let me ask you this. Will you talk with your friend and neighbor at Walmart? In an aisle at Kroger? In a car? Sitting on a couch? Sitting next to someone waiting in a lobby? Really, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, there are times when Paul preached and there was this big old crowd and it was kind of a big to-do there. But there were times when he just went down by a riverside. You know, there's dirt there, you know. There's just dirt. Dirt and some water running by. And she was converted. Take the commonplace settings that you're in every day, those common, ordinary places, and talk with your neighbor about the gospel. Young people, talk with your friends about the gospel. And it doesn't have to be some really fancy, planned out, public, grandiose, lots of people. It can just be just an ordinary sitting on a bench somewhere or whatever the case may be. We also find in this story that this lady had a good job. You'll notice that Lydia was a seller of purple. She had a very good job. Interesting thing about this, there was a fish at that time that had a vein in it that had purple in it. And first of all, you had to go out and catch the fish. Some of them were like crayfish, or they had sort of a shell around them, a shellfish type thing. And it had a vein in there that had purple in it, and they used that to make the dye. First of all, you had to catch those things. Secondly, there was very little bit in each one. And so it took a lot of them to get a little bit of purple fluid to then make that dye. And then you have to dye all of the wool or whatever you're dyeing and then make the garments. And so we find that she was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. She was probably well off. She probably made good money. She was somewhere in that process of being a seller of purple. But notice that this person who had a good job, who was doing well in life, that was not all there was to her life. First of all, we find that she's worshiping God on the Sabbath day, and we'll get to that. But she's converted to the gospel. Don't let your work be just your work. That's what my life is all about. So it's about going to school and getting a good job and making a lot of money. That's what my life is all about. No, it's not. Be successful. This woman was successful. Nothing wrong with being successful. Be successful. Have a great job. But always keep it secondary to your relationship with God. Notice that she was religious. Notice that even though she's extremely successful, she's religious because we find her down at this riverside, not having a picnic, not out fishing, not just laying out in the sun, sunbathing. She's down there on the Sabbath day worshiping God. So notice that she's religious and she's putting God first in her life. I don't know if she was a Jew or one converted to Judaism. We don't know that. But we know that she was worshiping God on the Sabbath day. We know that she's religious. And this is the type of person that God can use, that can open up. We had a visitor this morning. We were hoping that he would stay. But he said, well, I'm a seeker. He said, I'm a seeker. Well, that's a good start. God uses those kind of people. Lydia was a seeker. And in the book of Acts, there are those who are seeking God. And those are opened hearts and opened doors in time. And we can pray for this individual who came, that he'll come back and that he'll be attentive to the truth. But God is looking for those. We can't be hardened. We can't be someone that, oh, my life is just about my life and my job and having fun and having a good time. I need to be worshiping God. I need to be putting God first in my life. But notice something else about this lady. Number four, did you notice that she's from the city of Thyatira? You ever looked at on a map where that is? In relationship to Philippi, it's not next door. It's over in Asia Minor, and she's over in Macedonia. It's several miles away. Do you know what she's doing several miles away from her home? What's she doing? Well, when I go to work, when I leave, when I was leaving one country to go to another, then I got my work. I got my work, and I need to put my work first. What's she doing? She's faithful to God, far away from home. Do you know what? That's more than can be said for a lot of people today. So, well I got to go out of town on work. Well, let me ask you this. When we go out of town on work and when we go out of town on vacation, does the Lord take a vacation from us? Do we not have to take the Lord's Supper? Do we not have to assemble with the saints? Do Bible verses have no meaning for us when... Because we're out of town, you see. She was faithful to God, far away from home. Great, go out of town on work. Go out of town on vacation. But just like this lady, she was far from home, working. She's a seller of purple. But I'm going to seek out those who are worshiping God on the Sabbath day. Now, there was no synagogue in this area of Philippi. This is a Roman colony. Somebody says, well, why was she, if she's worshiping God, why wasn't she in the synagogue? There is none in this area. She's in a Roman area. But she found those of like mind to worship with on the Sabbath day. You see. And so be faithful to God even if you're away from home. Don't let God get the bad end of the deal when you're away from home and when I'm away from home. He still has to come first in our life. And so if we're going to be somewhere where we can't worship with the saints, we need to pick another place. Somebody says, well, I'm going to a place where even if I wanted to do that, well, then I need to pick another place. I need to be with the saints on the Lord's day when I'm away from home. And if I can't be with them, then I just need to pick another place. Or I need to get up early that morning and drive to another place or do something. I need to be faithful to God when I'm away from home on a Sunday. And then last of all, we find that she paid attention to God's word. And this is the heart, if you will, of our sermon, the open heart surgery. So I want to turn our attention now to this portion of Scripture whose heart the Lord opened. And I want us to think about the importance of paying attention every time God's word is opened. She went in for open heart surgery. And she came out a Christian, she and her household. And we need to do that. We need to be thinking about God's word in my life. Did she have a great job? Yes. And no doubt was extremely successful in that. But the story is not about her job. The story is about her having an open heart and responding to the gospel. So let's see what we can learn from that this morning. First of all, it's interesting that this statement, these few words, whose heart the Lord opened, these few words have been the subject of much controversy and misunderstanding by denominational preachers. These few words are often used by them, and have been for many years, and still are today, to prove a somewhat direct operation of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit, by the Lord on these individuals. So, the Lord has already chosen who's going to go to heaven, and the Lord has already chosen who's going to go to hell. And if He's chosen you to go to heaven, then He will send the Holy Spirit to have a direct operation on you. That's why for many years, and you'll still hear about this today, where denominational preachers will talk, you know, they'll be given the invitation, they'll say, come down front. And used to, they would say, come down front to the altar and pray. Pray that God would open your heart, you see, and pray for the Holy Spirit, and He'll come and open your heart. And what they mean by that is directly, miraculously and directly against your will. Because you've already been chosen by God, and so He's going to, against your will, directly force you to open up and obey Him. And it's been used that way for many years and continues to be used that way. And so what is being preached is, by many, they believe that God, by way of the Holy Spirit, makes one. This is the opening up, in their interpretation of it, the direct opening, making you to, number one, hear, making you to understand what you hear, and number three, making you to obey what you understand. That's what they mean by the Lord opened Lydia's heart. In other words, she wasn't going to do that otherwise. She did that because the Lord made her do that. Now, there's no question that the text says, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opened her heart. There's no question about that. And we're not trying to get around the wording or say that somehow it really wasn't the Lord. No, the text says, whose heart the Lord opened. There's no question about that. The question is, how does He do that? And there's no question that the Holy Spirit is at work in this story. Back up with me to Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Is not the Holy Spirit in this story? The Holy Spirit is all over this story. But not in the way that it is commonly assumed. He, the Holy Spirit, is not a part of this story in the way that it is commonly assumed. It is assumed that the Holy Spirit is forcing Lydia to open up her heart. But that's not what's happening. Look at verse 6. Paul and those traveling with him, they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work in this story. And in verse 7, when they tried to go into Bithynia, the Spirit allowed them not. There's no question that the Holy Spirit is all over this story, but not in the way that it is preached in the denominational world. The Holy Spirit is guiding Paul in what place he's supposed to go. That's not a part of opening Lydia's heart. That's another part of the story. But not only that, look at verse 6. Paul is speaking the word in Asia. And then in verse 10, called us to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit is at work there. Because we know that in other Bible passages, the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all the truth. And the words that they were speaking, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 16, that the words that I speak are the words of the Spirit, you see. So the Holy Spirit is at work in the preaching and teaching of God's Word. But that's not what they mean by the opening of Lydia's heart. They mean by that a third work of the Holy Spirit, and that is the direct operation upon the heart of the individual. So that's the question that we have to answer. Clearly, the Lord is opening Lydia's heart, but the issue is, or the question is, how is He doing that? You can do that directly or indirectly. Does the Lord open Lydia's heart or one's heart even today? Directly or indirectly? Our denominational friends say directly and against their will. They otherwise would not have done that. What we're going to find in the story is that it's actually through a means, through a medium, through an avenue by which that is done. I can make a tree fall down, I guess if it's a real small one. I can make a tree fall down by directly putting my hands on it and pushing it over. I can do that. And that would be very direct. My hands are in contact and I'm pushing it over. Or I can take an axe and never personally touch that tree one time. Never touch it with my body. But every time I use the instrument of the axe and I hit that tree and cut it at its base, then it falls over. One is direct. The other is indirect through an instrument, through a means or a medium or an instrument. I am said to cut that tree down or make that tree fall in both cases, but both cases describe two different things, one direct and one indirect. That's what's happening here. And so let's consider the facts. When we read this story, do we read carefully? Do we read carefully? Sometimes when people are preaching and teaching and you're talking with people, it's just a matter of just sort of reading some things and not reading carefully. Read carefully, not just the facts, but I've highlighted on the overhead the order of things that are said. This is extremely important. We're going to answer how the Lord opened Lydia's heart. Back up in the text, first of all, notice in verse 12. And from there we went to Macedonia, and on the Sabbath day, verse 13, we went forth without the gate by Riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spake unto the women. We sat down and spake unto the women. So what was this speaking? Well, verse 6, speaking the word. Verse 10, preaching the gospel. That's what Paul was doing on this trip. He wanted to do it in other places, but when he was forbidden to do it in those other places, when he came to Philippi, that's where he did it. Verse 6, speaking the word. Verse 10, preaching the gospel. That's what we sat down and spake unto the women. They weren't talking about the weather. They weren't talking about where are we going to go eat. You know, with some people today, I'm interested if we're talking about where we're going to go eat. No, I'm interested in that. Restaurants, stuff like that. And you know, cars and restaurants and sports and guns and fishing. I'm interested. That's not what was being spoken here. There's a time and place for all that. But there's also a time and place for that which is more important. And that is the speaking and teaching and hearing and obedience to God's Word, you see. I love to talk about all those kinds of things, but that's secondary to our relationship with God. And so the speaking was not about the weather and the Roman games going on in Macedonia. You know, well, tomorrow we got the Roman chariot race, you know, in Philippi. You know, who's going to win the Roman chariot race tomorrow in Philippi? They weren't talking about that. They were talking about the Word of God, you see. That's what they were speaking to the women about. And then look at the next thing in the statement. A certain woman heard us. So there's the preaching of the Word of God. There's the hearing of the Word of God. And then the statement, whose heart the Lord opened. Yes, the Lord did that. How did He do that? Through the preaching and the teaching and the hearing of God's Word. And then we find the statement, the Lord opened to give heed unto the things that were spoken, not weather, sports, food, guns, cars, Paul spoke the Word of God. That's what was important. That's what we need to put a priority on. And then her heart was open to that, to what? To give heed, which means the Greek word prosecho, which means to give attention to. Let me ask you right now, is your mind attendant and fixed on what I'm saying or on something else? I'm like you. When somebody else is up talking, my mind drifts from time to time. I'm just as guilty of as anyone on that. It's hard to stay fixed, isn't it? Little things distract us. Our mind's on what we're going to, you know, where are we going to go eat today, you see? And, you know, mind on other things. And so it's hard sometimes, but we have to stay fixed and focused. Is your mind fixed and focused at this very moment on these things in this text? You see? Her mind, when Paul was preaching the Word of God, it was fixed and focused. She wasn't looking out there in the river and saw fish jumping. You know, I love to go fishing. It could be kind of neat to go fishing. And you know what? The currents move along pretty good. You know, usually when I get out on a boat, it's so slow, you know, you get hot and sweaty. But the currents move along pretty good today in that river. That'd be fun to get me a canoe, you know. Go canoeing down that river. That'd be neat. So Paul's over here preaching, and she's looking out there in the river. You know, I've been here on work all week. I'm really kind of tired. But you need to kind of go fishing, you see. Her mind was fixed and attentive on the things. And you think it's hard inside of a church building? Imagine sitting by a river, all the stuff that could go. What about a boat that goes by? You know, hey, I'll go. No, Think about the distractions outdoors, and sometimes even in here it's difficult. But think about outdoors. Can you imagine meeting out? We're going to go out and meet right beside Memorial Boulevard. Do you imagine how distracting that would be? Every time a person went by, drove by, you know, our mind would be, you know, maybe looking over there. It'd be hard. Her mind is fixed. It means to attend, to fix, to hold on to. Let's look at one other place where Luke uses this word in the book of Acts, and he uses it for another case of conversion. Turn with me to John chapter 8 with regard to those who are converted in the city of Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, Luke uses the same word. Philip, verse 5, went to the city of Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ. There's time to talk about all that other stuff that goes on, but that is not as important. Have you ever been around someone who just really enjoyed talking about earthly things and worldly things and secular things, but you have a hard time getting them on a Bible verse or talking about a Bible matter? You know where their priorities are at. He comes to town to give them the most important thing that they need, preaching the Christ, and the multitudes, prosecco, the same word used for Lydia. The multitudes gave heed with one accord unto the things that were spoken by Philip when they heard and saw the signs which he did. Now, what's interesting is, if you read verse 10, read verse 10 and 11. There was a time when they gave heed to Simon the sorcerer. Remember, he was a magician. And so there was a time there, verse 10 and 11, before Philip showed up, where they gave attention to Simon. But when Philip showed up, they gave heed to him. Simon was left in the dust. It's about obeying Christ. And so verse 11 and 12, they obey Christ. They're baptized into Christ. You see, what's your attention fixed on? What is my attention fixed on? The Lord opened Lydia's heart clearly. But he used the means of the preaching of the gospel and the hearing of the gospel. And when Paul explained that and talked about that, and with her giving attention and paying attention, her heart was just beautifully opened up to obey. And it can happen every Sunday and every Wednesday night here, Sunday night, gospel meeting. Right now, your heart, my heart, needs to be open to those things. And it's not being done in some direct, miraculous way against our will, but because we want to do what God says. Is your heart open or closed this morning? Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. Ezekiel prophesied of a day after the captivity when God's people would come back and they would have an open heart, and it wouldn't be hard and stony and the door shut and closed, but it would be soft and pliable and open, you see. In Ezekiel chapter 11, 19 to 20, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit or attitude within you. I will take the stony heart. God's word can't get into that. Remember the parable of the sower? The seed doesn't get into the stony ground, the hard ground. I'll take that stony heart of flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. That means you can squeeze it. It's soft, you see. You can push in on it. In other words, a pliable one. And they will walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and so forth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, that their heart is hard. Turn with me there. Their heart is hard. In Matthew chapter 13, as Jesus is preaching, some don't want to hear. Verse 14, in hearing, they shall in no wise understand, and seeing, they shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart, the American Standard, like the King James, uses the older English. The people's heart is waxed gross. First of all, waxed, like the moon waxing and waning, to grow. And then gross, the old English word hardened or calloused. So their heart is grown hard and calloused, you see. And look at verse 15. Their ears are dull, their eyes they have closed. We're talking this morning about open heart surgery. No, I'm going to close. And at this very moment, as we're going down through the text, I'm closing my heart. I have no plans whatsoever to respond later. I have no plans whatsoever to obey. I'm already shut down, you see. Right now I can be open, or right now I can be closed. let's look at this matter of how the Holy Spirit works. And how you're going to respond this morning, I'm going to respond this morning in one of two ways. When the Holy Spirit, and He's active right now as I'm speaking, as we're looking at His words, you're either going to respond with an open heart, or you're going to respond with a closed heart. Do you remember in Acts chapter 2 when Peter and the other apostles were preaching on the day of Pentecost? A lot of times we look at that point in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now, when they were pricked in their heart. But we need to remember something. We need to back up to verse 4. When Peter and the apostles were preaching the gospel on the day of Pentecost, they were preaching Holy Spirit-filled words. That's the words that they were speaking. They were not drunk. They were speaking the words of the Holy Spirit. And when that preaching of the Holy Spirit words went out, some of them were pricked in their heart. The Holy Spirit's words pricked the heart of individuals. Like Lydia, they allowed themselves to hear and respond and give attend to, and they're pricked. Just think about a thorn or a sticker hurting you. Ow, ow, ow. Those words, ow, I have crucified the Son of God. Ow, wow. And then they respond and they obey the gospel. Or, turn with me to Acts chapter 6. It's the same preaching. It's the same type of person, Jews in Jerusalem. But now we have the opposite result. It's the same Holy Spirit preaching, but the opposite result. What's the difference? It's not the difference in the Holy Spirit. It's not the difference in the preaching. It's the difference in the heart. I'm either open or I'm closed. Do you remember when Stephen was preaching there in Jerusalem? He was in one of the synagogues called the Synagogue of the Libertines. And when he got done preaching, they stoned him. Remember that? Look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you at the very moment He was speaking. They did not want this. They end up stoning Him. But when He preached the sermon, look at chapter 7 and verse 1. He starts preaching a sermon and He comes on down and eventually He preaches about the need to come to Christ and that type of thing. And He gives a history of all the Old Testament, you see. And He wants them to see the need to come to Christ. What is He preaching? Look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 10. They were not able to withstand the wisdom and the Spirit by which He spake. Earlier in Acts chapter 6, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. When He preached, it was the words of the Holy Spirit. But no, we don't want that. Well, what's the difference between that and days earlier on Pentecost? The heart of man. I'm either open or I'm closed. And every time God's Word is open today in this pulpit or in this building, it's the words of the Holy Spirit. And I'm either going to be open or closed. I want to think about this before we close this morning, this matter of open heart surgery. What does the heart do? What does the heart do? I'm not talking about the muscle in our chest that is physically pumping physical blood, but the Bible heart. What does it do? Well, a number of things are attributed to it. I've listed some here, some six things here. The Bible says that the heart can think or reason. Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh within his heart or reasoneth within his heart. We love God with all of our heart, Matthew 22. Paul says, my heart's desire. So the heart is the seat of emotions. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, Romans 10 and verse 10. When we give on the first day of the week, 2 Corinthians 9, 7, it's as a person purposes in his heart. That means to plan ahead, to think ahead, to purpose, to plan, to design, you see. the writer of Hebrews says that the Word of God can get into our lives and judge between the thoughts and the intents of the heart, what the heart intends to do. These are just a few. But stop and think about it. If I allow God to give me open heart surgery, not directly against my will, but as the Word of God is preached and as I hear it and as I understand it and as I give attention to it, my heart needs to be open in every one of these areas. Is your thinking open to God? Is your love open to whatever God wants for us today? Our desires, our beliefs, our purposes, our intents. Are we just cut open and by that be used any way that God wants me to be used today? Or is it closed and the door is shut? I'm not going to let God get in on that little area of my life. I'm not going to do that thing that I need to do because that's mine. Or am I just open? Let me ask you this. The person that goes in for open heart surgery, do they lay there on the table? Nope. They're out of it. They're out of it. And the doctor can just have his way. It's just cut wide open there. They're not controlling it. It's just wide open. Open to be used any way the doctor feels fit to use that. And he goes in there and he makes those needed repairs. And then he closes it back up. Our heart needs to be just wide open. Cut wide open. Come in, Lord, and do whatever you need to do today. Is that the way it is? Or is it more along the lines of, nope, not going to let him in just yet. Got some other things I need to do, some things I need to change. You know, I've got good intentions. I got some people I need to talk to about this or that, you know. And it won't be today, you see, but I've got some other things I need to think about. And what about friends and family? And what about this? And what about, you see, I need some more time, Lord. Lydia, nope, just open it up. Do whatever you need to do. I'm going to respond. Every day. And it's not just something that we think about when we become a Christian, but all of us here this morning as members of the Lord's church, every day we need open heart surgery. It's not just something you think about when you want to become a Christian. Every day. But sometimes as a Christian, we might read something in the Bible or hear something. No. No, we need to open up. Lydia underwent the knife, as it were. That used to be an expression, someone going in for surgery, they're going to go under the knife. Well, the knife was more of a sword, if you will. The Bible, God's Word, is described as a sword. And remember Acts chapter 16 and verse 10, when Paul got over to Philippi in Macedonia, we concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel. And God's Word, Ephesians 6, 17 and 18, is the sword of the Spirit. God's Word, Hebrews 4, 12, is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so here's this sword of God's Word slicing our heart right now. It wants to get in there and do the work. When we realize that our arteries are clogged, the aortas have gone bad, do we just say, well, you know, I don't care about that, you know. I guess some do. But often we say, well, whatever it takes to get in there and make those repairs. We need to say that this morning with regard to our life with God. God, take your sword that is sharper than any two-edged sword. Both sides, razor, surgically sharp. Get in there and spiritually engage in your surgery. The Lord opens the heart through the teaching and the explaining of God's Word. I asked Shannon if he would read Luke 24, because when you read verses 44 and 45 along in there, it says that the Lord opened their minds, or Shannon's version, the Lord opened their understanding. But how did he do that? Against their will? No. Read above in verse 32, he was explaining to them the scriptures, you see. In Acts chapter 26, verses 16 through 20, after Paul's conversion, God told him to go to the Gentiles and open their eyes. How did he do that? Against their will? Directly? No, he opened their eyes through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. That's the way the Lord has always done that. But you know what? He's not going to go against your will this morning. He's not going to force you to do that. So, the admonition as we stand and sing in just a moment is this. Will you check in for open heart surgery? Will you check in? Will I check in? If we're told we're going to die, if we don't, then we would do well to check in. And those who are told that they're going to die physically, they go to the doctor. The doctor says, you know, you need open heart surgery. You need a heart transplant. You need a heart bypass. Whatever. Or you're going to die. We're going to die spiritually. And we're going to face God in judgment with that eternal death in hellfire if we don't check in soon for open heart surgery. It's a beautiful story of Lydia. Let's talk with our neighbors in commonplace settings. Let's do our personal work. And it's great to be successful in a job like Lydia was. A seller of purple was a very, very good job at this time. But she put God first. And she even put God first when she was away from home on a business trip. Or I'm away from home on work. Or I'm away from home on vacation. She always put God first. Never forgot about God. And when it came time, and this is interesting, she's a religious person. Why not just leave her alone? You ever thought about that? She's worshiping God on the Sabbath day. Leave her alone. That's what people would say today. But she wasn't saved by the blood of Christ. She hadn't been baptized into Christ. And so Paul didn't say, well, I'm just going to leave her alone. She's already religious. We have religious friends who have not obeyed the gospel the way they need to. That's why we don't leave them alone. We continue to talk with them. Paul did not leave her alone. Well, I'm going down here to the river, and I see some religious people here. I'm going to turn back and go somewhere else because they're fine with God. They're not fine with God. They needed to be baptized into Christ. Now, had they lived during that dispensation before the cross and before Jesus came and before He died, they would be fine. But they were living after that dispensation, but still worshiping in that other dispensation, and they had to be told to make that change. And the text says, and when she heard us, and when she was baptized, what a beautiful thing. It came because she gave true attention to what was being said. We encourage you this morning to give that same attention. And if we can assist you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?